This is the gospel reading that I've been reading this week, and let me just read it to you again. There's something the Holy Spirit wants to say to us. This is from Matthew chapter 27. Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Matthew 27, verse 62. Now on the next day, which is the one after the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together with Pilate, and said, "Sir, we remember that when he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days, I am to rise again.' Therefore, give orders for the grave to be made secure until the third day, lest the disciples come and steal him away, and say to the people, 'He has risen from the dead,' and the last deception will be worse than the first." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord.
I love that scripture so much because it makes it so clear that people of resurrection are a lot more dangerous than people who don't understand the resurrection. For Christians who really get and comprehend the resurrection, they're a lot more dangerous because the resurrection of Christ radicalizes a faith that's only still embryonic if we don't understand that Christ is risen and that we're risen from the dead with him. So once again, I want to look at this verse in 1 Peter 1. The attempt is going to be that during this Easter season, maybe not every Eucharistic service, but in the devotionals, that for 50 days we'll just talk about the resurrection. Good time to do that during this whole coronavirus thing, so that we're reminded that we're Easter people and our song is Hallelujah. And fear has no place in those who have been risen with Christ from the dead. Now, I emphasized this a little bit yesterday in my devotional, but I wanted to see this again and talk about hope again. I think Monday we talked about hope in the sense of God being sovereign and that having conquered death, we can trust he's working all things out, that we can be living in confident expectation of victory. Yesterday we talked about it more on a personal level, that when you know that you're risen with Christ, there's no temptation, no situation or circumstance that you're plunged into or placed into, or it's demanded of you that the Christ who conquered death isn't adequate in and through you to handle it. But I want to talk about just from the perspective of hope a little bit and something that this scripture says. Now I'm going to read it to you the way it would be translated literally, not the way in a New American Standard, I think, is the very best translation, most accurate one. But I'm going to give you an even better word-for-word translation, because in the scriptures, when the term born again is used, it literally comes from two words that means born from above, not born again. That's one of the last uses of that word. It really comes from a word that means above. So born from above, which when you think about it, is really what our born again experience is about, that there becomes something about us that's heavenly. So he says this in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused, so it's all by grace, has caused us to be born from above into a living hope. Now that's the better language. That's the better, the grammatical term. The preposition there is not to, but into. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born from above into a living hope through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. Now let me just read a few more verses, which we'll talk about more tomorrow and Friday. To obtain, or to the attaining of an inheritance, not to obtain as if it's something I'm going to get one day, but it's something that you attain because you've been born from above into a living hope. To attaining an inheritance, which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in the heavens for you, who are protected by the power of God. You, it's a who, not that, but you're protected by the power of God through faith for salvation to be fully revealed in the last time. Again, verse 4 says, to attain inheritance. Now that's, again, that little word, into. So let me just read this again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born from above into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, into an inheritance which is imperishable. The fact that you are born from above into a living hope through the resurrection of Christ means you're born from above into an inheritance, which is imperishable. And what is that inheritance? All that Jesus is and all that Jesus has. The unsearchable riches of Christ are yours. When it says that place in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, when it says we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ, that's talking about your inheritance. Every spiritual blessing that Jesus Christ carries, when you think about Christ, what does he carry? What kind of anointing does he carry? What kind of peace does he carry? What kind of joy does he carry? What kind of love does he carry? What kind of forgiveness does he carry? What kind of kindness does he carry? What kind of self-control does he carry? Whatever, born again into, born from above, a living hope, through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, into an inheritance that's imperishable. And that inheritance is, again, everything that Jesus is. And you've been placed into that. That's yours. Everything that Jesus is, everything that Jesus has is now yours. You've been placed into that. When I think about the word when he says, born from above into a living hope. Again, it's like being, when you think about being placed into something, it's like being placed into, think about being placed into something that's surrounding you, placed into like a pond. And you have to fight your way out of that to become pessimistic and negative. As a Christian, that's not your personality type. It's not got anything to do with your personality. It's got to do with the law of sin that still lives in your members. But as people who have a new identity, who've been placed into living hope, you have to fight your way out of something that you're into to not walk in hope and live in hope. You've been placed into the inheritance of Christ, which is imperishable. So therefore, you have to fight your way out of that into unbelief that you're not adequate to face whatever situation you're called to face. It's got nothing to do with whether you own your own or adequate or inadequate. Because of the resurrection of Christ that we now participate in, all that he is the risen Lord, that inheritance is mine. That's my inheritance. And therefore, my identity is lost in him, for I have died and my life is now hidden with Christ in God. Your relationship with God is all about his relationship with God, because you're in union with the risen Christ. And therefore, you and I have to fight through to the place of unbelief, to believe that whatever I'm about to deal with or face, the inheritance that Christ is to me isn't sufficient for that situation. It's really important to understand that. Actually, this is the word I was going to share with you today. I'm going to share tomorrow. I want to kind of get stuck here. But I can live, because I'm in union with the risen Christ, in a living hope. I've been placed into it. That living hope is because I'm in union with Christ, and therefore, all that he is as risen Lord is an inheritance that's mine, that's imperishable. He's not talking about, in verse 4 and 5, just or primarily about what's reserved for me in heaven. It's what's reserved for me in Christ. It's imperishable. There's nothing the enemy can do to take that away from you. The only thing that you and I can do to not experience my inheritance, all that Christ is, every spiritual blessing that he has, the only way that we cannot experience that is through unbelief. Amen. Let me read it to you again. Into an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, you and I are seated in the heavenly places now, in the heavens. Will we see the final consummation of all that one day? Yes. But are we already placed in the heavens now? Yes. Do we already have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, in the heavens, in Christ now? Yes. And it is reserved for you, he says. It is imperishable, undefiled, your inheritance that's reserved for you. Now think about that. Here's your hope. Here's the living hope that you've been placed into. That the grace that you need to face everything in life is yours in Christ. It's been reserved for you. And it can't be touched. It's undefiled and it's imperishable. When you and I find ourselves in circumstances and situations, and I understand this, so I'm talking to you as a fellow journey person, a person on the journey with the rest of you. When you find yourself in situations and circumstances and you go, I'm not sure I can handle this anymore. What you've just done is fight your way through hope. Fight your way through your inheritance and have poked your head out of all that and decided that you can't handle this anymore. It never had anything to do with what you can do or not do apart from Christ. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, that the inheritance, which is everything that Jesus is, has been reserved for you in the spiritual realm. It's undefiled, and it can't fade away. It's imperishable. It didn't go away because the circumstance just got harder. It doesn't go away because the situation is lasting longer than you thought it would. It's still there. That's why we're born from above into a living hope. We always have hope. We always have the confident expectation that even if I'm required to stretch the next mile in the circumstance or situation, even when the temptation's roaring at a higher level, Ephesians talks about standing in the day of evil, in the evil days. No matter how intense and how much longer it takes, that which is necessary for you to walk through that in victory is still there. You're in union with the risen Christ, and you've been placed into Him and all that He has as your inheritance, which isn't weaker because the situation got stronger, which didn't fade away just because you feel physically tired, which didn't get defiled and is no longer reserved for you because you're emotionally weary. You've heard me share this before. We don't sin because of weakness. We sin because of unbelief. I love this scripture. So let me just read it to you one more time, and then we'll stop. Hear it again. Hear it in the context of now. All these verses, not just one day in heaven. That's not even primarily what he's talking about here. If you read the rest of 1 Peter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy, He has caused, it's all His work, He did it all, it's all grace, He has caused us to be born above from above into a living hope through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead into an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away and is reserved for you in the heavens right now. Amen. Amen? Yep. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.